What's up, everyone? Corey Vincent here, and this is Video Game Bang. And you're hearing my voice. That means I am back at home in VGB Studios, where I belong. It feels so good to be back. Aaron and I spent the last week down in LA at E3, which turned out to be a fantastic event that we're going to cover in so much more detail in the coming weeks. A lot of good news came out of there. You all have been following online, so you know, but we're going to give you our perspective very soon. Got to thank a lot of people. Got to thank John from Nerd Reactor for hooking us up, sending us down there. Got to thank Danny from Gamertag Radio for allowing us to go onto their podcast at CBS Studios, which we'll talk so much more about. And then we come back and do this show at Sacramento Wizard World. No breaks for the wicked. Is that what it is? No breaks for the wicked? No rest for the wicked? I don't know. But thank you to Janice for helping us get on this panel with Rich Alvarez. So much support from our spouses, from the rest of the VGB crew, Steven, David Webb, Oblivion Comics and Coffee, Rich's awesome wife, Jackie. We got so many people to thank, but this is going to be a fantastic live episode. All that and so much more on this week.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when ish gets real.
People get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
By the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He can play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
What is up, my pizzas?
Right in here.
You are here for Video Game Bang live in Sacramento, California, the best city in the West Coast. Woo! We have always loved doing stuff in Sacramento because this is our home city. Aaron Carter, my co-host, we've been doing this show for 3.5 years, and we are here to give away a bunch of free stuff.
Yeah!
And we're here to talk about video games.
Yeah, free stuff!
Woo! Yeah, free stuff! Starting here, I am Corey Vincent. This is my host.
Yes.
Aaron Carter. Janice Davis, the ghost of Janice Davis, is right here with us. She will be here. She assures us she will be here. And from YouTube, Mr. Rich Alvarez.
I don't think this is working.
YouTube, California.
Are the mics working?
Hello. You can hear me?
Yeah. We're working.
Test.
Oh, I couldn't hear myself. Sorry.
Oh, here we go.
Sorry.
Aaron Carter, right? The golden voice gangster from Grant High.
No.
Yeah.
What?
Wait, hold on. Who said, oh, like?
They knew you were a black guy. They didn't know you were a black guy.
I don't know if that's racist or not.
We grew up in this neighborhood. We love Sacramento, so that's why we do the show. Rich Alvarez from just where? Where you at?
I've basically my whole life been around the Sacramento area, except when I was a little kid, I was in the Bay Area, but I don't remember that.
Yeah, good. You don't remember that. We don't talk about that.
Yeah, so just Sacramento is awesome, and I'm still here. Yeah. Sacramento!
So let's get right into it. We were at E3 this year. Did you guys follow E3 news? Raise a show of hands. Good E3, bad E3? What do you guys think? Great? Thumbs up? I heard a meh.
Wow. I think you're alone on that one, sir.
Did someone say Xbox?
Yeah.
Ugh. Maybe if you said Windows.
Might as well have said no.
Let's start with the stuff. I'm a PC gamer. Recently converted.
What hold the heck? Your,
well, the reason
hold
I got,
woes.
Reason I didn't get too many woos because they're all in their mom's basements. My mom just That's let me out.
Wow.
To do this one event.
Wow.
Aaron Carter, PlayStation.
I play everything actually. PlayStation is what I'm currently on with Overwatch like crazy, but I play anything. Anything. I'm an all around gamer.
Rich.
Yeah, I've been playing a whole lot of Overwatch on PC, although I do play a lot of games on PS4 as well.
So, E3, I liked it a lot. I thought it was really good for an E3. Aaron?
E3 had its ups and downs. EA did a terrific job, actually, being separate from the actual big event. I wouldn't say, like, oh, their games, what they brought out was, like, oh, incredible. Even though Titanfall 2, actually, people, is pretty good. But I think the big thing there that shocked me the most was Resident Evil. Like that game is it looks like totally new. Yeah, like it's a brand new Resident Evil. We're not going action anymore, we're actually going horror, and we needed that for Resident Evil. Yeah.
What's crazy about E3 is that they busted out into two halls. There's West Hall, and then there's South Hall.
Yeah,
which makes West Hall, they have all the consoles. So, like, Xbox has a giant section, Nintendo has a big section, Sony has theirs, and then South Hall was a ghost town this year. Like, it was so weird. And usually, it's taken over by EA, and then it has
Activision is usually a big part, yeah.
They decided not to go this year, so you could hear a pin drop in that room. And actually, Capcom took over. Like, yeah, they had Capcom, this giant haunted house right in the middle of the thing.
They had a giant blimp in the middle, too, with the Monster Hunter. Blimp, yeah. They took over the whole building.
They're already broke, but now they're really broke.
They spent all of their money on E3.
Yeah, like, everything is there. Like,
I hope it works out for them. They did. They did. Like Dead Rising. I got to play that one. What, Dead Rising 4? That game is actually pretty fun. I mean, yeah, it's just mindless zombie killing. And, you know, everybody agrees with that one. So,
getting to the free stuff, guys. This is what you got to do. There's a microphone right there. If you have something to say, any comments, questions.
Man, this brother.
That's where you line up. Hey, and then if your question is
good.
Throw
a knife down and let you
We
guys
throw
fight
good
for
things
it.
At you. If your question sucks, we all point and laugh.
No pressure.
No pressure.
What if it's not a question but a comment?
You have a comment. That's fine.
It better be good.
Okay, so this is a bit of a technical question. So at E3, both PlayStation and Xbox both announced new versions of their systems, Project Scorpio and Project Neo. And so someone interviewed Reggie Fils-Aimé, the president of Nintendo of America, and they asked him, you know, how does the NX stack up to even the regular PS4 and Xbox One? And he responded with that they were focusing more on the games instead of the specs. So I want to know, what's your opinion on that, and where do you think that'll lead Nintendo?
First of all, Project Neo and Project Scorpio, why do they think they're, like, government agencies naming nuclear weapons? Just call them Video Game 2.5 or something stupid.
This is Project Scorpio.
And the fact that Reggie's already copping out to the specs of that thing are indicating that it's going to be
I wouldn't
disaster.
Say copping out, though.
That's a cop-out.
He says that every single time. When the Wii came out and they asked them, oh, well, what is this system compared to the Xbox 360 and the PS3? He said the exact same answer.
Yeah.
They're focused on the video games. And how many people bought the Wii?
Yeah, but, I mean, to me, I don't know if this is just my opinion. I honestly believe that the Wii was sold mostly because people had never seen motion controls before. So to them, it was like, wow, this is this whole new technology. And so, like, I feel like, and I wasn't like this at all, because I love Nintendo no matter how many bad business decisions they make.
Okay. Oh, absolutely.
And so
why? Why? How
because
many
they,
Marios
they
do you
were,
want, people?
No,
they
no, no,
were,
no.
But they
Have
were,
you seen the new Zelda?
He's
it
right.
looks amazing.
I played the new Zelda.
He's
it
right.
looks amazing.
And it was amazing.
Yes, no. Exactly. I don't care for Mario that
He's
much.
Right, because, okay. I mean, Nintendo is still
I don't
the
care
only,
for the 2D Marios. The 3D
Nintendo
ones
is still
are,
the only video game, actual video game company.
Yeah.
You know,
I
Sony
mean, the
and Microsoft
other,
didn't
they're,
begin
they're
there.
They're entertainment businesses
yeah,
at this
like
point.
Yeah, like, they got the roots right.
So I know this wasn't my case, but for a lot of people, I feel like they bought a Wii just for the motion controls, and then they just let it collect dust. And
well,
that's really unfortunate.
To go back to what you said before, they bought it because it was something they've never seen before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if Nintendo brings out something they've never, that everybody's never seen
yeah,
before.
Yeah, that's true. They'll have to, and I wouldn't put it, I wouldn't put it past them either.
All right, so the
Jimmy's
first gift is
Davis,
socks.
Everybody.
Socks, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Everybody give Janice Davis a round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. Look at that. We got slides this time.
Honored. Thank you guys. I have a 1-year-old, so I was juggling a lot today. So I apologize. Thank you guys so much for having me.
So getting caught up so you know who we all are. Corey Vincent, Video Game Bang host. Aaron Carter, Video Game Bang host. Janice Davis does everything you can imagine.
Yes.
She flies
author,
planes.
Podcast.
She rides
There's
horses.
Some of the things up there. For
I'm not kidding. She could. She's a bona fide pilot. That could.
Saved my life.
She saved this young
She's
man's life from
blush.
A burning
These
building.
These guys making me blush.
One of the fans want to know, can you do his taxes?
What? Tax? Okay.
Tax season is far over. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to yell. I don't think my mouth. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's kind of low. Kind
of
low.
Author of The Holder's Dominion.
Yep.
Writer for movies and all sorts of stuff. Right? What are you doing?
Yes.
What are you doing?
Thank you, you guys. Here's my book, Beholder's Dominion, a gaming thriller. I'm writing a fantasy series now for Film Roman and a sci-fi series for Benaroya Pictures. And what's really exciting about that is it literally has opened the opportunities to just bring voices that, you know, haven't been heard yet. I mean, I'm working on these cool female and male characters, and then of course crossover races and species, you know, like fairies.
I don't
and
like
magic.
My species crossing over.
Wait a second.
Keep the bloodline pure.
What panel are we on? Is this like exactly. Crazy species panel? Or? But yeah, so I'm honored to be here, and I've worked alongside the video game industry for years. Since 2002, back in my Final Fantasy XI. Any Final Fantasy fans in the audience? Woo! Yeah! So it's been awesome just meeting people that work in video game media and developers who work on games like Star Citizen and all kinds of things. So thank you so much for having me.
All right, we're caught up. What do we got? Question.
All right. So with all the VR things now having their exclusive games, do you think that's going to kill any market possibility since everyone has their own games that aren't compatible with others?
Good question.
I was annoyed by VR, if anything, this year, because like Sony dedicated a whole like 15 minutes of their presentation to like crappy games that already came out that they're just giving a VR experience to.
Yeah,
it was littered everywhere around E3. Like there were so many VR helmets, and a lot of them were just for like the Android devices. Like you probably played the Sony Gear, or not Sony Gear, Sony, the Gear VR for Samsung.
The
anybody
Vive,
do that?
Vive, the Oculus, the Sony.
Yeah, like they were everywhere.
But what you guys don't know is that there's like a dozen other ones that are like way even more off-brand than that. That they're trying to shove down your throat. They're awful. My mom actually was showing her VR headset too, and
what?
It was yeah.
Your mom is hip. My mom wouldn't know
the VR. The VR was impressive. It's just there was so much of it, and they're all trying to shove it down your throat. It's like this one, this one, this one. And you know, honestly, there was nothing over there that made me like be like, oh man, I need to get VR. It was like, oh, maybe if I have a friend who's got VR, I'll go over there and check it out. But like, you know, I got to you know test a lot of the VR stuff, and it was like as impressive as IMAX was about 10 years ago. You know,
huh? Interesting. And you know, Alex Mayberry, he's an executive. He was an executive producer or a lead producer, some title at a huge company you might know, Blizzard Entertainment. And he said that VR, he really felt like everyone thinks of video games when you say VR, but he actually thought that there was a huge market for VR in music. And he thought that VR would be a cool way that people could see a concert in person, you know, even if you're not there. And so he's like, you know, VR has more potential than not just video games, which I thought was interesting.
I wish they would show that. Then,
like, yeah, show that
at E3, they just showed straight video games.
Because if they didn't, everyone would be like, "This is E3."
Oh, true.
Yeah, but still, like, show the.
Remember
the,
2 years ago, history repeats itself.
You still have to show the capabilities of it to have people buy in on that idea. So, like, if they showed, I have the Samsung Gear, and they have demos to where I can watch a basketball game, a boxing match. I'm not a boxing fan, but I'll sit and watch with the VR and like look around the ring like I'm. It's, you know, right on the side of it or something like that.
That would be sick.
So it's pretty cool in those applications. But video games, I don't know if I, like, if you sit in game, you sit in game for hours. I don't know if I'm going to sit in game for hours with something strapped on my head just yet.
Right.
Because there's a lot of demos, not a lot of really made for VR games yet.
And I don't think they've tweaked, too, just the motion sick. And it's very difficult.
People wear glasses. Like, there's a lot of different things that they have to work on before they get it just right for, you know. How's Robin going to, you know, go out there and put the VR over his mask?
Come on.
He can't do that.
Probably the most disturbing thing I saw at E3, though, was, like I said, everybody has a VR experience. There was a pornography, an unnamed, because I don't know what that stuff is. Like, I think it's all disgustingly nasty.
That is a bit too far, I would think.
But it had the largest line consistently for all 3 days.
Of course.
And we would just go there, not to, like, try it or nothing.
He said, oh, no, not me.
But... those guys were bold. Yeah. Those guys were bold. All right.
Thanks for the question, man. Yeah.
Yep.
Were you at the Bethesda conference?
Conference.
But we did watch.
I saw the Bethesda conference.
Okay. Well, I don't know if this is a little bit too specific, but I'm a huge Dishonored fan. I don't know if you guys are. But I was wondering if you think that this one is going to be just as good as the original.
I think it will surpass Dishonored 1 personally. I thought that Dishonored 1 had a lot going for it, and they experimented with a lot of new things. But it looks to me like, at least what we saw in what they were showing in the tech demos and on the gameplay demo there, like, it looks like they've definitely had time to polish it up. I love where the story's going 15 years later, and I think it's going to be an exciting game and definitely better than the first
and
one.
And they've built a lot off of gamer feedback, so yeah. I think it will be better.
Bethesda is awesome and can do no wrong. No.
Hold on there. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank
did
you.
He just say horse armor? I think he just got himself.
Yeah, he did. $5 horse armor. What's wrong with them?
This is a water bottle.
It's a big swag bag.
It's a big swag.
Man, they were giving out swag from left and right. Once. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Nice shirt.
Thank you.
Woo.
both of them.
Nice pants.
I have a comment and a question, and that is pretty much all of the new Xbox games are coming out for Windows 10, and they tried that before with, like, games for Windows Live and stuff, which I wasn't a big gamer back then or anything, but I've heard that was awful. Do you think that will work? Do you think that'll stick? And do you think it's even worth buying an Xbox One anymore?
If you're a PC gamer. Didn't we do the Gamertag Radio? We talked to some guys at Gamertag Radio, and they said, since you're going to, you know, if you buy it on Windows 10,
yep.
and it's one of those, you know, games for Windows 10, yeah, play anywhere, you have it on your Xbox One as well. Of course, it's only the digital copy, right? It's not the disc version, so you have to buy the digital copy.
Yeah, I don't see how it could fail because it's like providing something that wasn't there before. So anybody who was mad, I was like, why are you mad about something that you wouldn't have had anyways? Like, if I play on the PC and like my Xbox collects dust, now this may be a way for me to start playing the Xbox more when I'm in the living room or whatever, because I can buy Sea of Thieves digitally and have it on either platform. So it's just a nice little bonus. It just shows that Microsoft is really trying to bridge that gap between console and computer. Like, they're just calling it Xbox now. It's not
it's just Xbox Live. If you buy it on Live, you have it everywhere.
And it's not has nothing to do with Steam, unfortunately. That's the one thing I found out. So if you have, like, Steam games that are cross-compatible, you have to buy them on Xbox.
They didn't really say if, like, you have your save data, would that transfer over, too? Like, if you started on the PC, could you pick it back up on your Xbox One? Yeah. So I don't know about that just yet.
I bought Gears of War Ultimate Edition for PC, and it seemed to work pretty well. I had a few bugs at launch, but that's about it.
Yeah, I don't...
Your prize is a Nerd Reactor hat.
Woo!
So we should also say that we are affiliated with a website called nerdreactor.com. It's the spot you go to for all your geek news, articles, reviews, videos, funny videos, stuff that me and Aaron have been doing for a long time with these guys down in L.A., so check that website out as well. That was a little commercial section. Now let's go.
And I'll add to that. Also check out MMORPG.com.
Hey, whoa. Do you have a hat from them?
I write for them. I write columns for them. So Nerd Reactor and MMORPG, your two go-to sites.
But mainly Nerd Reactor.
Oh, and don't forget about YouTube.com/ McAlvarez.
Oh, my God. Oh, okay. Turning into?
Plug,
what just happened
the
to the panel
hour.
Right there? Man, shame on us.
He has a question, guys.
Oh.
All right, so what's your opinion on all these games, or not all these games, but games like The Division and Destiny being overpromised and overhyped for years and years, and then when they're released, they're just garbage?
How much time you got?
Round of applause. Round of applause.
That's what you need.
That sounds like the video game industry.
Something good.
Destiny, you know, can I? Oh, can
no,
I,
go ahead.
Okay,
yes,
okay,
please.
Okay. Please. Destiny, I feel like you said, you nailed it. I was so excited. I had so much anticipation, but it really did feel just dreary and monotonous to me. And I do try to always see the positives in games and try to find aspects that I enjoy. But Destiny, I feel like, missed the mark in a few ways, one of which I feel like could have saved the game in a way is the option for couch co-op. Like, I really feel like if I would have been able to play next to Aaron, for example, share a couch. And, hey, wait a second. And, you know, we're able to, like, just have that friendly banter and, you know, go after, you know, whatever together. It sometimes changes the dynamic of the game. Yes, it's cool to play with your friends online, and that's a cool way to play too. But something about, I feel like Destiny was the perfect game that could have been a couch co-op option and wasn't. And in addition to being dreary and monotonous, that's another problem I had.
I really hate that couch co-op is dying, and you know, it's always like the Borderlands release that they had, you know, with all the games. It's like, oh, that has couch co-op? Great, let's get it, because it's one of the only games that has couch co-op. And I you know, everyone's like just pushing all the online stuff and online stuff. It used to be, of course, 10 years ago that online multiplayer was like a nice bonus, you know.
Right.
But the meat was the single player campaign, and then the couch co-op, and then okay, I'll do the online multiplayer when I'm done with everything else. And now it's like Battlefront, that's all it is the online multiplayer.
You're speaking to my heart. You're like, where magic is happening.
I get bummed out by games like Destiny because they penalize people who were like most faithful to the game. Hmm. Like, I bought it day one and I was so excited and I played it, and they owed me, the way I see it, after playing that game day one, because it was so bad. And then they finally hot fix and they patch and they throw this and that, and now it's a Taken King, and now there's Rise of the Hardwood and then the Iron Banners and whatever you want to talk about. And
I don't think Rise of the Hardwood was an actual. Just to be clear.
Oh, that was the Naughty America. I think that was a swing. That was the VR thing. Sorry, Rise of the Hardwood was from the VR that I saw. I mean, that I have no idea about. But regardless, then when they came out with that expansion, like it was $40 or something for people who bought the game, mm-hmm. but then they just bundled it for $64.99 for everyone else. It's like, I was there from the beginning.
It's ridiculous. That was ridiculous.
Show me some love.
Yeah. Well, they came out and said that they were making things free for you later.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. So there you go.
The promise of something greater?
I know, not greater, just something free later. That's all it was. I think they have in their mind that since the age of the internet is here, we can make a game and then make it better later with updates and stuff like that. So I think the best way to counteract that, of course, we always say vote with your dollars.
Yes.
I mean, I got a lot of hate for saying I was a fan of Destiny, like right off the jump. And I was like, well, when the game comes out, you know, 5 years from now, I could probably get back up on it and I'll have the same amount of fun that you did, I guess, you know, at the beginning. Yeah. But it takes time. And we're not in that Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis age where they bring a game out and that's it. Like, we have updates now.
Right.
And that's what they want to do. So it's a tough call now to say, I'm not going to buy that game. I'm going to wait.
It's really unfortunate, though, if you have a limited time to play and you have to sit there and wait for whatever update, patch, million, billion thing that there's constantly. You have 20 minutes. Oh, I've got to wait for an update. Come out with a polished game, then release it. Don't put out a half. Man, end of the day, I was going to say spiky. I can't even think of a word. That's how tired
I am.
Your
anger,
but it's... You got me on my fiery end of the day.
Yeah, we're sounding like a bunch of old cynics up here. The internet killed video games.
Thank you.
I like the shirt, by the way. Oh, Star Labs, awesome.
My question is going to be very, very open, I suppose you would say, since it's going to be about the gaming industry, and I feel like I'm going to add fuel to the fire. But with pre-order bonuses, DLC, micro-marketing, I can kind of see expansions justified. How do you see the game industry going forward with things like all the DLC for Destiny, all the micro markets for Halo?
It's going to get worse if we keep doing it. That's why when we come to these panels all the time, we're like, vote with your dollars. He just said it. Like, if you don't buy it, they won't do it no more. Hmm. And so you got to tell your knucklehead friends, like I tell my knucklehead friends all the time, why did you buy it?
Why is he talking to you like that? Yeah, why are you talking to you like that? Jeez.
I guess my question is more so like, do you guys even see that getting better anytime in the near future? Because, I mean...
Not in the near future, no. Nope. No. Not in the near future. I'm partial to blank. Because when Fallout 4 came out... Fallout 3 came out. I bought all the DLC for that day one. So I spent well over, you know, $100 for each of the, you know, for the whole thing as a whole. And they probably looked at that because I was one of the many. And they were like, well, let's keep doing it every single time. And they're going to keep spewing it out until horse armor, you know, happens again. And then we say it's enough. But there's things like they'll hide things on the disc for like Mortal Kombat or something like that, where they'll hide characters.
They go through the work and they put it on the disc. They're like, yeah, pay me extra.
But there is hope. There is hope. Like Capcom, they put out Street Fighter.
Of all people, Capcom, who was the worst.
But they've learned.
The Ultras and the Super Ultras.
They learned
the
now.
Super Ultras. Yeah.
Capcom with Street Fighter V, you can get all those characters that come out. You can do the old-fashioned way, play to unlock them. You don't have to buy them if you don't, you know, want to do all that stuff. So if that model works, and it will work, then I can see other companies following suit.
I think Injustice, I was so pissed when I saw what they're doing. I mean, Injustice, I went to saw the like the behind-the-scenes tech demo where we got to see like 20 minutes of gameplay. It looks like it's going to be really good. But knowing how NetherRealm is with their microtransactions, like you can, they are the they're the promiscuous women of the fighting industry.
Wow.
They're the new Capcom.
What does that mean?
Like, hey, you give me a couple bucks, I'll let you do a fatality with one button. You know, like...
That's horrible.
And so now...
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Injustice 2, 50 characters, 5 at launch.
For anyone that didn't hear her, men can do that too, is what she
said.
Yeah,
they're the promiscuous men and women, I guess.
Gigolos. Okay, they are the Deuce Bigelow male gigolos.
What panel are we on again?
I know, exactly.
What happened?
I didn't know where that.
Well, but because they introduced this whole equipment system where after you win, you get a new piece of equipment, but of course you can buy equipment. And so if you're going to be show up to the FGC events and try and play, you know, competitively, and someone else is paying more money to get better gear, you're just going to get smashed.
Hmm.
So I was pretty upset with that one. So what you get to walk away with, sir, is this Uncharted 4 pop vinyl.
Whoa.
So if you guys saw us walking around today, we did the paperclip challenge. We had Aaron Carter go against Rich Alvarez. They both started with a paperclip. And they traded stuff. He went through like Bic lighters and stuff, moved up to a brooch.
It was fun. It was actually very fun.
He ended up with an Ecto cooler at one point and then finished with this.
Whoa.
So, there you go.
That's so cool.
Check out the video. If you guys have your phones out, you can go to YouTube, follow us, Video Game Bang, and then that will get posted and you can see all the mayhem.
That's awesome. Hi.
Hello. Where is Harvey Dent? I'm just kidding. Okay.
Get out of here.
I was going to say, I had an answer.
I'm just kidding. Okay, so ever since Silent Hills released that PT, I was always very inspired to like play these new generation of horror games. Because, I don't know, it always kind of shook me, the whole, I need a stop point before I get to shoot. So... ever since PT came out, I was so anticipating, you know, Silent Hills eventually coming out. But now with, is it called Death Stranding? Death Stranding?
Norman
is that what it's called?
Norman Fetus?
Yeah, that guy. And, you know, along with the new Resident Evil game, what did you guys think about where these new horror games will go? And will it crash and burn, or will we always just be waiting for... a superhero to come.
Well, Resident Evil 7 looks awesome, but I thought Resident Evil 6 looked awesome. You know?
Yeah, no, well,
but so Resident Evil 6 didn't look
forever.
Resident Evil 6 didn't look scary though. It looked Call of Duty with a couple of more zombies or something.
This looks scary. Will it actually be scary when we see the full game?
Yeah,
hopefully.
with the like claustrophobic feeling and it's really dark and dang, and you got all different type of, it gives you kind of the PT feeling as well. Mm-hmm. You also have like the Blair Witch Project kind of vibe going around. You know, it looks like they're pulling from movies as well.
Yeah.
You know, the hills have eyes. Like it's a brand new scary, because I saw no weapons, like besides a hand axe that the guy was using, and like no guns. Like, I say, if I'm in a horror game and there's guns, like, I'm not scared. I can shoot anything. So I think it's going in the right direction. You should be pleasantly surprised with the new Resident Evil. Yeah,
is pleasantly Death Stranding supposed to be a horror game?
It is.
It is, yeah.
It's a very horror game. Have you seen it? He has, like, C-section scars. He's holding a baby.
It's 2016, baby. Anything could happen.
Like, he looks scary. The guy looks really scary.
I think Hideo has lost his mind.
I think he thought he had more of a golden ticket than he really had. Because, you know, he's like the big underdog of the gaming industry. Like, oh, he got fired. That sucks, you know? And he's riding this wave of momentum where he's like, I can't screw up. Let's get my boy Norman Reedus. Make him have a baby.
So thank you.
Put him naked. He'll be naked on a beach. There will be like 5 gods standing above him.
Everyone's going to love
it. Yeah,
this.
No, it's weird.
We
there's
can have a bunch
no,
of beached animals.
It's probably going to be the next Metal Gear Solid for all we know. Like, who knows?
All right, thank you so much. Yeah.
Woo!
Woo, woo!
Good question.
You know, I had a panel.
No, go ahead.
I had a panel earlier today with, you guys will appreciate this as gamers, with Damian Clark, who was in Borderlands. Yes, yes. Handsome Jack.
Yeah, yeah.
And Dragon Ball Z, Cell. TV shows like Graceland, 24, Castle, all kinds of stuff. Really cool panel. And he was talking about scary video games, and so that's what made me think of it. And I told him there was a scene in his demo reel. I haven't seen Supernatural. Anyone seen Supernatural? Okay. I haven't seen it, but there was a scene from his demo reel that I asked him. I was like, you're that scene, you know, with the blood coming all over your face. His face is stark white. I was like, they could just make a video game of you just chasing us all around in that with that blood, and I would be scared to death. So you guys would appreciate that.
The VR experience.
Of Damian Clark chasing you. From Supernatural. Anyway, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, all right. So my question was, well, first, are you guys familiar with the No Man's Sky?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Very.
Definitely, yeah.
So first, was there anything at E3 with No Man's Sky, like any
Nothing.
Demos? No?
There was video on, I think, one of the monitors. That was about it.
And that all was right. In the men's bathroom.
Yeah. So
Nintendo
was about it.
Did show Zelda, though.
Yeah, that was one of the games I was looking forward to. That one and... what was the other space game that you got to play?
Star Citizen.
Those two I didn't get to see anything on, though.
Now, I got a question for you, sir. Does it ruin that game for you that you won't be able to find your friends?
A little bit.
There you go. Thank you. Give that man a prize.
Throughout the universe for it. For them.
See, that's but, what I'm saying. Like,
but
I
you're
just
not
imagine
going
me in
to.
A spaceship playing time after time.
But how many? How
I
many?
Will be waiting, Aaron.
How many voice. Games have you played?
Got a good voice on him.
Space games have you played, or any space anything where it's just one person by themselves in a space setting? So
Matt
there was
Damon
no other humans there with him.
That Matt Damon movie
I played
where
it.
He makes potatoes.
Like they have. You have an entire universe to explore, and then you're just by yourself, and
there's
going to
be other
animals.
Though, Aaron.
There's like animals and plants. That's cool, you know. There's a strawberry. And then that's it. So I'm like, if I can't at least, if there's like a giant, I don't know, a citadel, let's say. I don't know, like Mass Effect.
We could just meet at the center of the universe.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking
so romantic.
That's what's
going
to happen.
Trying to tell him forever, Aaron, I'll just meet you at the center of the universe.
He plays it on PC. I'm playing on PS4, so I mean.
We're worlds apart.
PC masters.
Yeah, that's what he is.
Thank you.
There's an Injustice t-shirt.
Woo!
Batman, beware.
I know, right?
For Batman.
Get ready.
I'm right here. hey, guys.
You look great, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Love your cosplay.
So I know you guys are at E3. Watching it at home, it seemed like mostly everybody except for Sony was into the stage presentation of it all, but Sony just focused on the games. What's your take on like how the game should be presented? Like, because I know the vibe across Facebook and everywhere. People appreciated Sony for just showing the games.
Well, I think there should be a new event. Like E3 was originally designed for investors, correct?
Yeah.
So it's transformed into more of a flash and show thing. Mm-hmm. But now companies are kind of doing their own thing. They have their own flash and show. So I think E3 should actually either transform to just be a straight entertainment thing where they come out and say, these are the games that we're going to bring, or just be a closed door thing for investors to see stuff like that. But it's like, who are they trying to cater to? You see bands come out. Yeah. Bands aren't supposed to impress investors. Exactly. Guys, and we see guys, suits all around, right?
Yeah.
Like they walking up and down the hallway, suits just walking through these crowds of fans and stuff like that. And they look so out of place. they have like their briefcases and everything, and they're there to crunch numbers and figure out, you know, what's the right investment. Right. We're there to play games and blog about it.
I agree with you. It's almost like E3, like the vision, like you said, has been lost or muddled a little bit. Because I walking through the big show floor, like where Sony is overwhelming and cool. But in the indie section, I feel like they put them off to the side.
Yeah.
It was hard to find them.
They get
and it's
no
almost
love,
like
yeah.
It's almost
they're
like,
in a black tent, like
yeah.
Right?
And the lights were darker over there. It was
no, he's absolutely
no,
not
it's real.
They, like,
yeah,
pumped up the heat or something.
It was like
the
ghetto of
like a prison camp. Yeah,
no
was,
joke.
It was
right in front of me, and I did not see it. Jackie was like, "There's the Indiecade."
And they had really cool things there. Like they had some really good stuff over there, but they don't get the same treatment that, like, Sony had a section where, you know, big flashy monitors everywhere, lights, you know, everything was all, like, well lit, at least. Yeah.
Hey guys.
And the indie guys, yeah, they're really trying to pull people into their section. Like, I have something cool and interesting, but people are like, oh no, I'm gonna go over there and play.
And like you said, they should really make a decision, and then like you said, make it fair and adequate for everyone that's presenting. Especially since Carol Mertz is a video game developer in St. Louis, Indy, and she said it was actually hoops to try to get approval to get there, and then it was approved last minute. And so just hearing that, and hearing that she didn't have the capabilities and resources to really prepare and exhibit properly, is sad, because like you said, supporting Indy and supporting putting our money where, you know, we want is, we need them to have that opportunity to be at E3. If it's going to be a show floor for all games, what the heck? Why the black tents and the sweaty people out?
So, according to the NPCs around, that's how me and Aaron kind of equate it to. When you walk around E3, and it's like you're playing GTA and you stop and listen to like an NPC conversation. Mm. Like that happens to us at E3. And like, so we're walking by and we hear someone say, wow, how many more years do you think E3 will be around?
Oh, wow. You know? No, that was serious talk, though. Like, that was serious talk. So I talked to a game developer and he was talking about, like, I don't think this is going to be around for another five years.
Interesting.
And he kind of sees the trend and everything like that. Like, so if they split it up and they're like, this is for the suits, and then we have a section for, you know, or not a section, but a whole different event for the gamers to show you games. I think that would be more of a thing, because in a way, and not in a way, gamers are investors.
Yeah.
You know, we put money into that company.
E3 is suffering from an identity crisis.
Yes, very much so.
Thank you so much.
The man, the myth, the legend, Sean Long from YouTube Sacramento. Give him a hand.
Woo! Sean. By the way, big shout out to Big Trend. Our moms have the same first name. It's pretty awesome.
Wow.
Where's Martha?
And I'm a super fan of Video Game Bang and Rich Alvarez. And Jackie, Let's Cook. I love Let's Cook.
I'm a super fan too of them. Aren't they great? Yes, they're incredible. Great.
You're awesome.
And thank you for inviting me.
Well, a good question I had for you guys.
Wait, we'll determine whether it's good.
It'll be super good, I promise. Okay. What are games that weren't shown at E3 that we know are supposed to come out, like, you know, Kingdom Hearts 3, that you guys were most disappointed, or what games they should have shown? Yeah,
that's it. Kingdom Hearts 3. Where was it? I was expecting it. I mean, like, I, you know, I'm a huge Final Fantasy fan, and, you know, and that, you know, of course, you know, Kingdom Hearts is kind of like the cousin of Final Fantasy, you know, and so, you know, it was like, they had all the Kingdom Hearts 3 posters last year. I was like, okay, they had posters last year, they're going to show us a big reveal trailer this year, and no. Instead, we got a ton of posters for 2.8, which doesn't even come out yet.
Yeah, that was
weird.
End
of the year.
And we got trailers for it, too.
Yeah, so, like, they kind of treaded away from Kingdom Hearts 3, and they were supposed to show some stuff this year, so definitely out of all of the, like, what was I disappointed? It was Kingdom Hearts 3, and then the fact that everybody wanted some kind of reveal for some people are calling it Skyrim 2, Elder Scrolls 6, and then that didn't happen, and then the Bethesda guy. Tom someone.
Where's our Bethesda guy?
He had to apologize after the event when he learned that there was so much so many fans that were complaining about no Elder Scrolls 6 reveal. He had to come out at the end and do an interview with IGN where he was like, I just found out that a lot of people are disappointed that we didn't reveal Elder Scrolls 6. I just want you guys to know that we are working on it. It's just going to take a couple years more than we thought, you know. That's all the Skyrim remastered is like consolation prize, you know.
What do you think, Janice? That's a good question.
Yeah, it is. I'm trying to. We're like twins right here. So yeah, I feel the same. I can't think of any.
All due respect to Rich, you're a little bit better looking. But
you're gonna make me blush again. Can't do that. I don't know. I'll defer to you guys. What do you think was disappointing?
Red Dead Redemption.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Red Dead 2. All the hype and the lists and everyone saying
no Rockstar, man.
No Rockstar. Yeah, where were they? What do you think, Aaron?
Because you said that, I didn't miss it at the time, but like, that's one I would have seen. I was literally looking for No Man's Sky, because I mean, I've seen so many like pictures and video footage and interviews, so I was like, No Man's Sky has to be here. They're gonna at least show it. They've delayed it, but they're gonna show it. And they showed nothing at all.
But man, they sure did show us VR, Star Wars, Star Trek, Fallout 4, VR this, VR.
Yeah,
Batman. Thank you so much.
We are VR troopers.
Red Dead 2, Grand Theft Auto 6. These are games that I would have loved to have seen. But, you know.
Now it's my son's turn.
Wow.
I'm gonna move this
mic down.
Oh, we got to get this guy a super awesome gift because he actually follows the podcast, and I happen to
know that. I just want to say a thank you for giving me stuff to do at work.
Oh, no.
Really bored.
Instead
I go
of
on
work.
YouTube, and I'm like, oh, hey. And then, you know, someone tells me, go do something. I'm like, I'm watching this. I got it.
So when you're fired, you're going to hate us.
No. Actually, I'll be like, oh, okay, cool. Hey, you got
more time to listen to us. What are you talking about?
We can't advise this. Yeah.
No, but the whole VR thing, like, I was thinking to him, like, listen, the VR, what are we doing? We're getting, it's kind of like when that old Nintendo VR thing came where you had to put it on the table and you put, and it was all red. The vision was all red. Everyone was big about that when I was a kid. And then I played it at a friend's house. I'm like, it's actually giving me a headache. I don't know why this is a big thing.
You're a very well-spoken kid.
Well, you know.
Exactly. Quite the migraine. let's go play with the basketball.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so, I mean, the only things that got me, like, a little bit intrigued with the VR was the Batman one. Yeah. Where, like, they said you could put it on the cowl and everything. I was like, okay, PlayStation, you got me a little bit. But then again, you're just like, I don't know if it's going to actually be like, if you do this, you'll actually throw a batarang, you know?
Well, they have, you got to see at the Nyko booth, right? The new VR, where you can actually put your hands in front and they actually track everything.
Yeah.
So it's getting more advanced with that because it like you can do everything. It tracks your fingers. They had people, you know, throwing the peace sign and stuff like that and other vulgar, you know, gestures. But it does a very good job. And then you can actually pick up items.
It was a camera on top of the Oculus that looks and he could see his like skeleton and stuff like that. Actually, applications. The guy that did it before, our friend Joey. He was a heftier man, and I can say that because I am a heftier man. And he was not wearing a belt this fine day. And so anytime he'd bend over to pick up an item, just like half the moon would come out. And so anytime he was doing the demo, he was oblivious to it. We were next in line. And so anytime he was like, yeah, pick that up, we're like, please do not pick that up, sir.
Why did you guys tell him? Huh? You didn't tell him?
Well, I think
so. It's your fault. Then. Yeah, that's what it is. That's what that is. Okay.
I had to take aspirin after every VR experience, so it still gives you a headache.
Yeah,
but that's just it. You're not going to play it for 8 hours straight. No. So it's kind of difficult to say that that's the future right now when gamers play for long periods of time. Look at MMOs. You know, you can't sit and do that forever. So it's going to be very difficult to make that the norm.
I think Orange Lounge Radio, another podcast in the area who's been doing this for over 10 years, one of their guys said it the best. He was like, for like the Wii was a massive success, right? Because, but really, Wii Sports sold the Wii.
Yeah.
So VR needs that one game that's going to come out and say, this is what VR is. This is the epitome of VR. And this is going to sell the platform.
But what game and for what version of VR?
I don't foresee any game like that, right? Like
Farming Simulator.
Like you said, with like there he said, go. The Wii Sports, you needed to, you know,
that guy. You need something else. Give that to him.
He said, give that to him.
Oh. Yeah, EA bag, suck it.
No, I agree with you. How about having VR for something else? Like when the at last year's Comic-Con there, Legendary was giving out that box thing with the Sony. And I spent like an hour on it because you could see the Conan special.
Yeah.
You can do the Warcraft preview.
Something that you're not able to get to. Like there was people that weren't able to get to E3 this year.
Right.
What if they just, you know, had somebody live streaming that, you know, on like a little, you know, camera that goes around the event, you know, checking out stuff. I think that would be kind of cool. The other things besides video games, I think it should probably focus on first, and then we'll get back to the video.
I was live streaming the event.
Yeah, see? And that would be at fans watching, through the eyes of, you know, Rich, as you're, you know, looking at VR.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jeez.
Whoa. Jeez.
Nice catch.
Steven Universe, how's it going?
Hi. Hi, everyone. So my question is about The Last Guardian.
Okay.
So now that they actually showed a demo with gameplay footage and people were actually able to experience it, do you guys feel that the hype surrounding the game that, I mean, it's been in development for so long, for almost a decade, that the hype might hurt it or that it will actually help it because people know about the game and they're actually going to want to see what the game is?
I'm looking forward to it. Oh, sorry.
No, I'd love you to go take this one, Rich.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm looking forward to the game, and I think that it'll be as good as Shadow of the Colossus. I was looking forward to this game as soon as they announced it, you know, whenever they announced it forever ago. Yeah. And I think that this will be a really satisfying follow-up. But I think the hype is really strong for it because it's been so long and because, like, everyone's talking about how, you know, amazeballs it is and everything. And, you know, it is going to be an amazing experience. It's going to be a great game. It's not going to be earth-shattering, but it will be as good as Shadow of the Colossus. That's what I think.
As good as Shadow of the Colossus? That's a high bar.
Like, well, you heard it here first from Rich Alvarez. I'm saying it's going to be as good, so you can blame me if it's not.
The bar has been set. Yeah. Gauntlet thrown.
Yeah, it's a very artistic-looking game, and I don't know. I got to see like a 30-minute playthrough of it, and then I can make a better judgment. But right now, just a boy and his dog. Not the game, a boy and his dog, but, you know.
What do you think, Janice?
I agree. Very eloquent answers, Aaron. Rich, very eloquent.
I'm too old school. I see that, and I'm like, what? That's a bird dog? That's not a thing. Why is it? Is it a dog or a bird?
Kind of reminds me of Valcor from, you know, Never Ending Story.
Talking about it for 15 years.
It'll, you know.
I don't care. Some games, there's a sweet spot. You know, you start hearing about it, and then at one E3, then when it's at two E3s and three E3s and then four E3s, you lose me. Like, Too Human? Wasn't that the other game that was
well,
in
development?
Well, they
had a lot of problems with Too Human.
Legal
problems. I assume
this game has
well.
A lot of problems.
But
so
it was, like, legal
problems
with that. This, I mean, it's not always necessarily bad that they delay a game. You know, that just means they're working on it. Too Human had, like, legal troubles. That's what they're thinking.
But Corey, I do think you nailed it, though. There is that sweet spot because if you hear about the hype and it does take year after year, we do. Just as humans, you just get bored with hearing the same old, it's coming, and you lose interest. So I agree. I think you nailed it.
So it's sort of like a certain Valve game that I won't name, but it has that same kind of a history to it. You know?
The Half-Life series. Yeah. Yes.
See, no, but that's different. Like, Half-Life, that's all the community. Like, the community's putting that hype. They're basically saying, the game's not coming. But we just keep like, yeah, it's coming. it's how the world works. You're going to make it.
Man, Valve just continues to pretend E3 doesn't exist, you know?
And that, too.
Oh, yeah, they don't show up, do they?
Interesting.
No.
Tattoos.
Whoa. Oh, man.
And a new eye surgery appointment.
He's got an arm on him. Corey has an arm on him.
Oh, and Sean Long, I just thought of another answer to your question. Ukulele by Playtonic was not there. And I really wanted them to be. Oh, that's what you were trying to tell me. Okay. Yeah, Ukulele, I really want to play it. That's all.
How do you feel about games that lack actual content or campaign and it's completely online only?
We talked about games. This earlier. I think it's terrible. Yeah. I mean, like, I really want to play.
I know.
Oh,
I think it,
that was
thank
good.
Hey,
that
hit her
was good.
Something right there.
She just called him out.
Wow.
She called him out.
That's my wife, ladies and gentlemen.
He can't answer that question clearly.
Wow.
All right. Here's the thing. I have to.
She asked
myself.
Him to take off his Overwatch.
Wow.
For anyone that didn't.
That's Jackie, my wife, that calls me out on my panel.
She just spanked you, son.
Wow. Here's the thing.
These games are no campaign.
Blizzard wanted everyone to play the game at a reasonable time. The story campaign is coming later, all right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Good defense. Good defense.
It's going to happen. The game, though, is so amazing that it almost doesn't need it, but it is coming. That's the exception right here.
And that cinematic held us over, right? The Overwatch.
They're constantly releasing Overwatch short cartoons on the internet. They're going to have comics and everything. It's all going to get glued together very perfectly by Blizzard. You just wait. But anyways, what I was going to say is I don't usually like it when it's online only. Like I was talking about Battlefront and how disappointed I was that there was no single player campaign there. Yes.
Titanfall.
And Destiny 2.
Well, Titanfall 2 is coming out with, you know, they're trying to make up for that. But if the gameplay is there, then I think it's fine. Wow. That was horrible.
We've got a baseball player
that
in
was
our midst.
Terrible.
It's good, good aim.
Captain Boomerang.
I think. But Overwatch proved that it can work. It can still work. I mean, there's a space for it. So I wouldn't say it's 100% negative because Overwatch came out and blew that out the water. Like, I was I was a little upset when my internet went down and I couldn't even play Overwatch.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so, but...
Like you oh no that
when it works
this
well
is the
it works well.
Century, the man had could have went outside and enjoyed like
there's outside
like he lost a family member.
Oh. Yeah. And remember
the internet
too.
You couldn't play an online game for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, you poor guy.
It was 24 hours. That was a nightmare.
Just because it's Overwatch, it's so depressing.
Yeah,
so you couldn't play Overwatch.
Exactly.
But and remember too, you know, video game industry is the transmedia that's going on where video games are pulling from books and movies are pulling from you know TV and comics. This culmination of genres is really a special time because video games are asking authors to help with their storytelling and their content development. So it's even though, like you said, there are games that we wish had it, Destiny, Battlefront, what have you, these other ways, like Overwatch, of providing the shorts or the cinematics, it's a really cool time to be a gamer because I think that they're experimenting with new ways of content.
Damn, it feels good to be a gamer.
Thank you.
All right,
that Overwatch thing is going to end up online. It's like, Rich Alvarez is a phony.
All right, so PlayStation all day. That's how I've been. Happiest thing that made me happy, God of War. God of War. They showed it.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
They showed it.
Oh, yeah.
They showed gameplay, and I hated it. To me, It looks like Last of Us, not God of War.
Didn't
what do you guys think?
Everything Sony did, though,
it was all
seem
third
like
person
it's,
action
it's not
adventure
God
games.
Of War.
Horizon.
Well, they have to go. Well, I don't know. I wouldn't say they have to go with something different. They're trying something different. But I just wish they didn't try something different that every other game did. There was God of War. Hmm. There was
Stepdad of
Days Gone.
Days Gone. Third person. Too, yeah. The Horizon game. Mm-hmm. So it was like everything was third person action adventure.
But will it feel like God of War?
I don't think that one's going to have the same pace, like the fast, you know, over the top, you know, slow motion death.
It did seem
like,
quite okay. slower.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it might be a little, I would just say prepare yourself for the worst if you're like one of those. But you got to give it a chance, though. They're trying something totally new. You got to give it a chance.
For someone who hasn't played a God of War, like I was stoked. Like even at that first cinematic when he was like, boy.
Yeah.
Beard. I was like, I know that guy. That's Kratos. That's cool.
You'll get your bow back when you deserve it. Yeah.
Worst stepdad ever.
And then he just, why is he a stepdad? You know,
you never know.
I think it's his stepdad.
That's the theory, yeah.
Because at the end, the kid, you know, they kill that elk all, you know, strongly.
So like Last of Us.
Now you're ready.
Same exact storyline.
Don't look at the elk, look at the sun.
For a dragon, yeah. Now you're ready for
a dragon.
That dragon.
Yeah.
Deer to dragon. That's what we're going for.
You're ready for that dragon.
Yeah.
Skyrim.
Yeah, I would say give it a try. Yeah. Just to see. Just so you can be justified in hating it if you do.
I mean, there you go. Yeah, I agree. It didn't really look or feel too much like what we're used to with God of War, but I still thought it looked awesome.
Yeah, it looked amazing. We'll give it that, but will it play? That's the.
Thank you so much.
My question's on Days Gone. It kind of have a mixture of World War Z and Last of Us, the gameplay. Looks similar, but how would you guys think it would make it on the market? As far as sales and production,
I mean, I think that one's actually going to sell quite well if it keeps up that number of zombies and the pace that they come at you. Because like Dead Rising, the latest one in that one, there's a stupid amount of zombies everywhere, but they kind of
just
walk around. Yeah, like they're fodder for everything. Like
that game's kind of like Left 4 Dead.
Yeah,
with the swarming.
Yes, yeah,
I loved it.
And if they can weave in a story like Last of Us with that type of you know intense you know fear that. You know that swarms of people coming at you brings. Then I think it'll be a good game.
Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna buy it. I think it's gonna sell really well. I mean, the zombie genre is not dying down anytime soon.
It's going up. It's going up.
Yeah.
Boo. It's so, okay if you want to boo that joke. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. I think it looks good. I think it looks like it plays really well, and I think it's gonna.
Well,
do really
I can't
well.
Wait to play it.
So what?
I can't wait to play it.
Oh yeah,
it's going to be good. Yeah.
You do a lot of these panels across the country. Do you think people are getting tired of zombies yet? Because I saw a mixed review. Like when I was following E3 on Twitter, and anytime I saw something with zombies, people were like, "Oh great, another zombie game."
A little bit, but you know what's cool about the people that are working on zombie genre is that they are trying to create new twists and turns and different scenes. Sorry, I got distracted. That's my daughter, Cora. Oh, my mommy heart just hurt. But so I think that we have been oversaturated a little bit, but I think that because creators are trying to spin off to new universes and you know, let's put them in space, let's put them under sea, like what have you, I think there's still room for more zombie. Hey, it's popular, and I think there's more to come.
New universes in space, our universe.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I got plenty more stuff to give away, so if you guys still haven't won anything yet, get
in line.
We're
out of time, technically.
Oh, yeah, we're almost
really?
Out of time.
Yeah. We need a good question.
Then. We've got Caesar back here, Wizard World. Round of applause for Caesar, everybody. Round of applause. Round of applause. He's letting us know that it's time to wrap up.
We got 8 minutes.
Oh, okay, good.
Quick questions,
okay,
guys.
Okay.
What do we got?
I don't. What's your guys' opinion on studios like IO Interactive that pushes out content like Hitman? That became episodic. Was it $15 a level?
Oh,
I don't like it.
microtransactions. It's like it's an evil and it's a good. It definitely. It. I personally am not a fan. But the thing is I've talked to developers who say that microtransactions have saved their families and have been able for them to pay, you know, to put food on the table. So I'm torn because, you know, indie developers may live and die by them. And so that part of my heart strings. But the gamer side of me, I don't like it. I don't want to be ripped out of the immersion of the game with a microtransaction. Or I don't want to feel like I have to pay $15 a level or what have you. So it's a hard topic for me because I feel both sides.
Yeah, you've seen it. Say people. It's kind of like a drug dealer. You know, they're frowned upon, but it still puts food on their family's table.
I don't know.
Slanging
if that's
the sticky
right.
end.
Oh man,
this got dark.
Yeah,
just
tougher
got dark.
Bad
question than I thought.
It's a tough one. I know, as me, that somebody likes stories. Like I'm really into the video game stories. I don't like it being cut off, and then I have to wait a little bit longer for episode 2 to come out. Especially being spoiled by like Netflix, where I can just knock out a whole season of something, and I don't have to wait till the next episode comes out next week.
Even with the Telltale,
like Telltale? That's what it is. With Telltale, I don't even like to play the Telltale games when they first come out until they come out in that full bundle. Like I hate watching Game of Thrones now because
I think
wait till the whole
works
next.
For Telltale, but like Hitman and you know.
You don't like it going to other stuff. Yeah, I mean, I can see that. Yeah, it's definitely not a good thing when it goes to other games. Telltale has it down fine right now.
Oh, whoa.
That was close. That was like a football pass, but interception, wait, fumble, I don't know.
So I was wondering, why can't I get a drill that works?
So Charles, or what's his name? Charlie Brown's teacher is here asking this question.
That was actually very well. You did good.
I didn't even
why can't
question.
I get a drill that works?
Okay, here we go. Wait, we've seen you before. You were in the suit.
No.
You didn't have a mask before. He was out
yeah.
of the
He's wearing a mask.
I recognize the tie and the collared shirt.
No,
I'll sell you a drill for $100.
There you go.
It probably doesn't work.
You can meet that guy after the show.
Boom.
Oh, sick. Whoa. What are you doing?
Hey, I remember you too. Fallout shirt. Okay.
I was at Damian Clark's thing.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Welcome back. You're
Thank
a
you.
Good panel goer. You're my new best friend.
So I'm hitting them all up.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is, like, Overwatch is a fantastic game.
It
and
sure
I've been
is.
Playing it on PC, and it has, like, plenty, I think, like, the amount of characters and everything, and all the characters offer different things for different players. But I feel like it doesn't have enough like variety in level types. Like not maybe not level types is the way to say it, but match types.
Oh. Because
yeah.
there's only like what three different match
three,
types.
They
have
three
the
or
one,
four.
They
Payload.
Have the two, then they have the one that's the one and the two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's probably their idea of these are really fun right now, and then when we decide to make other ones, we can always just release them in an update. So
yeah, I know that like what they're actually working on in the studio right now is like huge. Like we only really have access to about 10% of the game right now, really.
Really?
Yeah, so it's like it's crazy because everybody, a lot of people who play the game like myself, we're already in love with that 10%, so whatever they're going to throw at us next is, you know, just going to blow our minds, I'm sure.
And another thing is, like, it seems like Blizzard, well, they're already in, like, the movie industry with Warcraft coming out, and those animated shorts seemed like they were made so well. Do you think there's a possibility that they'd be making, like, an Overwatch film?
I hope so.
I sure
film?
Hope so.
That
yeah.
would be,
absolutely.
That would be
who
pretty
great.
Who
saw the Warcraft movie?
Yeah.
Who liked the Warcraft movie? Leave your hands up. Very good. I'm proud of you guys because even though like Rotten Tomatoes is pooping on it.
But that's the thing. When you have critics that, you know, aren't gamers that are forced to go watch it that maybe don't know anything about it from Adam, like it's going to be hard to, you know, critique a movie.
Yeah,
like,
I wrote the review for NR and I gave it a darn good review.
Who should review it?
A hootin' tootin'.
Should a gamer review it or a non?
That's a good point because the one drawback that I would say that the film tried to achieve but didn't quite match was bridging that gap. Because yes, I believe that it should have been able to appeal to an audience member who didn't know anything about the Warcraft lore, and there were a lot of parts in the movie that you really did need to know. There were a lot of fan nods, and there were a lot of moments. So I wish they could have maybe done that a little better, but the visual effects was awesome. They really tried to incorporate a lot of the Horde and Alliance different sides. But again, you fall into problems as a storyteller because it's formulaic to have a screenplay with, you know, a villain and a hero, and it's clear who to root for. Mm-hmm. And in this case, they were really trying to show villains and heroes on both sides, and that's difficult as a storyteller because normal moviegoers are in the mindset. They're used to the same produced type film. Yeah. So it got, I think, those reviews because people aren't used to that pounding of a different breakthrough of a different formula, I guess.
I watched it and I reviewed it as just a plain movie and I gave it good reviews. I gave it right in the middle. But on the scale of video game movies, that was freaking Scarface.
Yeah.
Like, that was the best movie of all time. Like, if you want to look at it in the scope of just video game movies, when it's up against Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
And Warcraft
or Pixels or something.
Agent 47.
Or the Hitman. Yeah, this was a brilliant movie for gamers.
Wasn't the visual effects amazing with the orcs and the sweat and the just the way it looked? Ugh.
We this guy over here, Eddie Villanueva from the Film Philosophers podcast, he got to interview one of the mocap guys who said it was the most fun set to be on because he said as they're rendering the mocap, they have like two rows of just high-powered PCs and nerds just... Yeah. Hammering this thing out, seeing what it looks like in real time to make sure it's like perfect.
So
to
cool.
Add to that real quick,
no, you may not. You have to get to a mic.
Activision Blizzard has created their own movie studio. It's called Activision Blizzard Studios, and they are launching a Netflix series called Skylanders Academy, cartoon series. So I don't think it wouldn't be too far out for an Overwatch series as well.
Woo.
That's awesome.
Hopefully.
And another thing that you were saying, like, we only have 10% of the game right now, and it seems like Blizzard releases a lot of content for their games. Like, they really go to please the fans and not just to make a quick game, make some money, and...
Well, I think that they knew that what they were releasing was still going to please fans.
Well, yeah.
But, they've got a lot of Overwatch content coming out at the end of the year and the next year and everything. I think it's going to be big and it's going to be awesome.
Thank you.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah. But man, Warcraft, that's a
Captain
really dense
America.
Lore that
exactly to tackle
Did
that.
You guys question yet?
Not yet.
Perfect. Let's go. No.
What was your guys' thoughts about, you know, Microsoft and PlayStation coming out with their 4K gaming systems? Microsoft already came out with their or the specs of what their teraflops saying they could do uncompressed graphics, everything without frame rate dropping.
I think unnecessary right now. I mean, like, how many have we all have 4K TVs in here, right?
Yeah,
everybody?
Right? Everyone got 4K?
We have one.
I don't think I do yet.
So,
no.
I mean, and they should
so
love
less
that
than 1%.
That.
I
mean,
that was like me with now that the 4K technology is moving forward and the TVs are becoming more affordable for a lot of us.
Normies, muggles.
Normies.
That's fine.
I mean, where do you think that's going to leave Nintendo since they're just only focusing
Nintendo
on games?
Nintendo is going to do what they want
to
do no matter what.
They
if everybody went out
their
and
own drum.
Built holodecks, Nintendo would still have ball paddles and make fun ball paddles. So Nintendo does what they want to do. They don't worry about the rest. And that's why I really like them.
But don't you think that's going to keep them at the bottom still? You know,
but
bringing
the
up
bottom
the rear?
To who? They have the leading handheld. Of course, that keeps them up. They have the most recognizable character in the industry.
Zelda,
Mario, Metroid, all five. Like, they're solid. They have they've built over the years a very solid, you know, business. And I don't think they worry about what the other companies are doing. If they do something like that, I'm telling you, if Disney buys Nintendo or something like that, they will be an unstoppable juggernaut that will own everything.
Even though I really... What was that?
Oh, and that's it.
Oh, is that it?
Oh, and Pokemon. Yeah, you got Pokemon Go coming out.
Like, variations of Pokemon Woo.
Exactly. Yeah, you say Woo, but I bet you. Yeah, there's always and the thing I think we forget is we get older, so we've seen it all. But there's always a new generation of kids. You know, Cora's going to grow up and, you know, want something new that she's never seen any Pokemon red or blue.
Unless she rebels against Janice. It's like, I'm just
not going to play video games.
Right? Yeah. She just throws the controller.
So there's always
I'm going to be a race car driver.
There's always new kids, you know, coming up in the game. And they want it was going to appeal to them. So we always focus on ours.
Whoever makes the most fun games deserves to win. Like, I could care less about 4K. I'm a PC gamer, and I still can care less how many frames per second or gigaflops or teraflops. Yeah,
Six teraflops.
As long as the game teraflops my face into having fun, then that's all I care about. So,
thank you. Yeah, it's really good.
What are we looking at?
What's up? My question is basically Final Fantasy 15. It's basically been in development for like 10 or 9 years.
Like how you did that
in
your Final Fantasy God. Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah.
Previously
I've been waiting for that game
13.
For the last 10 years. But anyway, it's been in development for about 10 years. And my question is, do you guys think that might be a little too long?
Yes. Yes.
No, just from the development standpoint of it can take a long time to get that game right. But I don't think that's what the original intent was, because they originally intended to release it with a 13-2 and a Agito. They had that.
It was part of the 13. It was going to be Versus 13.
Yeah.
It was supposed to tie into that theme. Yeah. And then when they were like, oh, you know what? This is better than 13. We got to do, like, you know, they spent a couple years overdeveloping it, making it bigger. And they're like, you know, let's call this 15 because now we don't have to, like, actually spend time making a real 15. We'll just call this 15. And then they spent more years and more time and more develop. It's a mess. Everyone's like, oh, it's going to be awesome. The game is a mess. I think it'll still be fun and I'll play it and I'll buy it because I'm a Final Fantasy fan.
Well,
but it's a
yeah,
mess.
But, you know, a game like that takes that long. But you have other game developers like the guys that make Assassin's Creed that cranks them out like
really?
Once
We're
every
gonna
year.
Use Assassin's Creed
let's not
as
use
the
Creed
staple.
As a
yeah, but,
yeah. If they do, they yeah, like yeah, year after
they,
year.
I think games like that could use like 2 or 3 years to develop it and make it better. Because like I was deeply disappointed with Assassin's Creed Unity on day one.
They could take a page out of Square Enix's book and take a little bit more time to cook those things, definitely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Call of Duty is what there's going to be
another
one.
What would your guys' basically year range be for properly developing a game?
4 years.
Four years?
Yeah. I mean, because you got Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah, 2 to 4.
Yeah. I'll give it 2.
It depends on
give it a hard
scope,
3.
Right? It depends on the scope. I mean, are we talking of an FPS? Are we talking of an MMO?
Well, then let me know right off. Well, MMO is never going to be done right off the gate. You know, that's just never going to happen. So that one I can give a pass on. But if I'm talking about like The Last of Us, then it shouldn't
then
be.
Then that should be on the 1 to 2 year scale.
Yeah,
I agree.
Me, yeah.
Okay,
but
yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But
really
Final Fantasy 4 years.
But, yeah, well.
All right, you guys, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I hate to do this, but I got the signal from my mom that my daughter needs me. So is it okay if you guys keep going without me?
Yeah, before you go, tell everyone where they can find you on the social medias.
Okay, I'm sorry, guys. I have a one-year-old, and she has, you know how Saturdays go. It's like the longest day at the con, and I've had so many panels. But thank you so much for having me.
Fun.
And you can find me at JaniceDavis.com, on Twitter, Facebook. I sometimes guest star on Video Game Bang. So please check out their podcasts because they're incredible. I just started hosting a podcast called The Gamer's Dominion under the Assembly of Geeks umbrella. So check out
it's
that
good.
Too.
Good. We were guests.
Oh, and
on
hold
it.
Thank you for pointing. See, Aaron's
yeah,
so
the
good.
Book.
The book. Yes, it's a video game thriller. The hero goes head to head with a hacker who's manipulating players in this video game that I created based
There's
on.
There's even more up there too, if you guys.
Oh man, these guys are making me blush. So thank you so much, you guys, for having me. Thank you. And I hate to go. Like I really want to stay, but I got the signal from my mom that.
Janice, did you have a favorite question of the day?
Oh, a favorite question of the day. What were we disappointed in not seeing in E3? I really liked that one.
Who asked that?
I really liked that one.
Sean Long.
That was a good question.
It was, because it brought to light, and it brought to light the indie, it brought to light how Aaron and I agree, and, that, you know, and Rich, about the indie black
Did anyone,
tents.
Who else, what else were favorite questions out there? That was probably the best. Are we good with that one? Was that the best?
Yeah. I think so. My vote counts, huh?
Okay, we got three more, so we get through these. You guys have to, that's the bar right there.
Oh, well.
Smash it.
Do that.
Woo!
So, thoughts on a new, on the new Resident Evil and their first-person take? What do you guys think they're trying
gonna
to do?
It's going
to
be amazing.
Yeah. Like, are they trying to appeal to more, like, you know, games like, oh my God, I just forgot it. Like Outlast, like you're trying to appeal to that type of audience.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Or just trying to go for a new take for
well, they
I know it's
to,
completely different
they,
from the
they needed to go
ones.
A new direction yeah. because they were just making shooters and mm-hmm. they weren't scary at all. This new, I love how you said, like, appeal to the Outlast mm-hmm. crowd. Like, that's the type of feeling you're going to get. And Outlast scared the mess out of everybody.
Yeah.
That is going to be the right direction. If they keep experimenting like that, it's going to be really good. Mm-hmm. Like, take
What's
away the guns.
And, what's your favorite yeah. football team?
My football team?
Yeah.
Niners.
Woo! Yeah! Yeah.
Said wrong answer.
I know they suck right now, but I don't care.
So your favorite football team now is... what is that? Oh, no, okay. All right, I know what you're going for. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
No, that's the right... They're going the right direction. Trust right. me. Like, you... That to me, won E3. Resident Evil.
Really?
Yes.
With that little?
Yeah,
because
how
was
they
like,
shut it down. Like, no,
Titanfall 2 won.
No.
For me.
They had nobody get to play it because they had to make schedules for people to come back and actually see the actual game. Like, it yeah. was that popular. And then the line to make a schedule was even long. So it was very hard to get a good glimpse of that game. But
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
glad that they released it for a demo for everybody to play. Like,
yeah, that demo was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, so it's going to be an amazing game.
Yeah, because it was like, it was weird because me and my friend, we usually play together on Resident Evil.
Mm-hmm.
So we played together, and that was like the first time where it's like, well, we're on our own. We're not.
Yeah,
we're not
yeah. You got
a two-player thing anymore.
It's tough to make a game scary when somebody's watching your back with a rocket launcher.
Basically. All right, thanks, guys.
I want that on my tombstone.
Wow.
Hey, my question is obviously about the new Zelda game. I'm wondering what your guys' opinions are on the changes that they're making to the game, like the survivability aspect and the weapons and everything else.
Link's not left-handed, and it's terrible.
Oh.
So, no. Minus like little things like that. That's for like your hardcore, you know, like why isn't he using his left hand?
Oh, yeah.
That's more hardcore. But I like the direction they're going. He can climb everything, jump, cook. They're blending. They're taking examples from a lot of different games, and they're putting it into this one, definitely.
As someone who actually got to play the game for a few minutes, I could say it was awesome.
Yeah.
You will not be disappointed. Like, it was the most searched game while we were there. Again, NPCs all over the arena. That's what they were saying. Like, this game is the best. Rich got to try it. I got to try it. The only thing that was a little weird is, like, the stamina system. Like, if he gets winded, he just dies.
So oh, yeah. That,
yeah.
I didn't like that I was swimming.
I would have been dead so long ago.
My stamina ran out while I was swimming, and Link just drowned. It was like,
yeah.
Really?
He didn't tread water or, like,
a lot
you know,
of people do
that.
Do that.
You just float on your back to get your wind, you know?
Yeah, because that's what they're going to animate, back floating in Legend of Zelda.
Well, you don't just die. He was swimming.
You do in Hyrule.
Casually.
Yeah.
I guess he got a cramp. And
it's a cramp.
To the bottom.
That exactly. Hyrule water must be irradiated or
yeah.
something.
I'm assuming, does it do the same thing if you're climbing in your stamina? He's just like, oh, let go.
Yeah, I think he, yeah.
Probably.
But it was really fun killing, like, the orcs and making
yeah.
the food. It was one of those games where the controls scheme is going to be pretty in-depth. But once you nail the controls, you're going to like it a lot. But
I enjoyed it more than the last couple Zelda games, honestly. Like, it was the most fun I played since Ocarina of Time.
It was like
for me.
Wow.
Zelda,
yeah.
Skyrim mixed
yeah.
with, like,
I was like, there was a lot of Skyrim
Minecraft
in there.
And it was really cool. It was really
See,
good.
The one thing I liked about it, at least, is hearing that the whole, when it gets really cold outside, you could actually freeze to death. I liked having that.
Yeah, you got to put on fur and stuff like that, right? Whenever
yeah.
you get into colder
yeah.
temperatures. Yeah, that's, they're
I
taking
keys.
I just
like the sounding of that. So.
It'll be a good game. That's probably already game of the year.
Yeah.
Like, you can already vote it now.
I'm really looking for that game.
It's going to win game of the year, yeah.
You're wondering about Nintendo and wondering what everybody else is doing. Nintendo is fine.
NX going to give it to
you.
Yeah.
My question is on video game remasters. You think it's good for the industry, or do you think it's just a quick cash grab?
Video game what?
Remasters.
Depends. Like games like Crash, I'm like, yes, finally a game from my childhood I could enjoy in full HD.
But how long ago was it? Like what remasters, like Skyrim's new remaster or whatever?
Well, we've had that with mods forever.
Yeah, so that's way too soon.
But it only started this generation, like remasters, pretty much.
Yeah, I don't.
I would really would have appreciated Oblivion remastered a lot more, honestly.
Yeah, that game needs.
Or a Morrowind? How about we go that?
Yes,
far back?
even more. Ourselves. I'm just any like it was just we just had Skyrim, you know.
Yeah,
like
now.
You don't even look that
me.
Old.
How do you know? The internet. That's why.
Because the internet. Yeah, but games when they're doing the same thing. What's Call of Duty doing?
Modern. Oh, how they're doing the HD 44? Remaster.
That just made me feel old.
Yeah, really?
I was like, why are you remastering that game? I was like in high school when that came out. Like. Oh, man.
Another one? Why would we need another one of those?
But I see what you're saying. It does feel a little like a cash grab, I could see. But it just, depending on the game and the time, right?
Yeah.
Some aren't necessary, like Dead Island. I'm never going to buy that again.
Yeah, no, you don't need another remastered. Yeah.
What's your favorite football team?
Don't really watch football, but
there you go.
That's a wrong question at the wrong convention. There you go, Recore.
Recore looks good, yeah. No, actually, Recore does look like a good game as well.
Well, I think that's going to wrap up the questions, guys. Thank you so
much.
Thank
you.
Woo! This is the part where we ask something of you, because we basically gave away all our swag. Like, me and Aaron sat in hours worth of lines to do this, and I didn't get nothing for myself. It was all to give away here. Now it's your turn to help us out. You can go to Facebook.com and you like Video Game Bang, or you can go to Twitter, like us at Video Game Bang. Subscribe to our podcast. If you have an iPhone, we're on iTunes. If you have Android, we are in the Google Play Store. And we do this podcast twice a week. We have great guests of local talent, YouTubers like Rich Alvarez. Sean Long has been on our show. Carla right there from YouTube has been on our show next to Sean. And we're just showing that Sacramento has a deep and thriving video game and geek culture right here. You don't have to go outside. We also talk to people like, who have we talked to? Katrina Law from Arrow. Like, you'd be surprised who you could con into getting on your cheap little podcast. Let me tell you.
The cast of Hey Ash, What You Playing? You guys
you guys
that?
Hear that?
Anthony and Ashley Birch, they both came on the show.
And so Tina. Please, if you can, give us some love on the social media. Say you had a good time and look out for us at the other conventions.
Yeah.
Rich Alvarez, push your stuff.
I am Rich Alvarez. You can find me at youtube.com/RichAlvarez where you might find shows like Rich Plays Overwatch or Stupid Mario Brothers. Let's Cook with Rich and Jax.
So come up, ask us questions after the show. Thank you guys so, so much. Patriots fan?